Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to use your imagination. Imagine if you were Pharaoh of Egypt that we heard about this morning. In the eyes of your people, they view you as a god. They worship you. In the eyes of your enemies, they view you as a leader of a great nation whose army cannot be easily defeated. But in the eyes of Moses, you are viewed as someone who oppresses the Lord's people, and the Lord has commanded you to let his people go. But when you look at Moses, what do you see? You see one single rebellious Hebrew challenging your power. And you don't see anything special about the God of Moses. But then you look, and Moses throws down his staff and it becomes a snake. But you also see your magicians do the exact same thing. But Moses' staff devours the staff of your magicians as a sign that the Lord is more powerful than anyone else in Egypt. When you see this, does it change your heart? We are told in Scripture that Pharaoh hardened his heart. He refused to listen to Moses. And why is that? Well, it's because Pharaoh did not have faith, whereas Moses did. Moses trusted in the Lord. He trusted what the Lord told him. Moses was a great hero of faith. And that's why he is mentioned here in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 has been nicknamed the great chapter of faith, because it lists many people throughout the Old Testament who had faith in God. But there is a reason that the writer of this book wrote these words. At this time, Christians were being persecuted by the Roman government. They were being thrown into jail, and some of them were being murdered. And the Jewish Christians were tempted to leave their faith in Christ and convert back to Judaism, because Judaism was a legal and protected religion in Rome. But the writer to the Hebrews points out how foolish this would be. And he lists many people of faith who refused to let go of their faith no matter what persecutions they were facing. And one person this writer brings up is Moses. And so as we take a closer look at these words, not only will we get a closer look of Moses' life, but we will also get a closer look at what exactly faith looks like. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, Moses refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But why would Moses ever be considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter? After all, Moses is a Hebrew. He's not an Egyptian. Well, he was considered the son of Pharaoh's daughter because of the circumstances around his birth. Before Moses was born, Pharaoh viewed the Israelites as a threat to his power and to his kingdom. So what does he do? He enslaves the Hebrew people. And to stop them from growing as a nation, he ordered that every male child that was born to be drowned in the Nile River. But Moses' parents did not obey that command. They hid Moses for 3 months. But after those 3 months, Moses' parents realized they couldn't keep their child hidden anymore. So what do? They put Moses in a basket and placed him in the Nile River. Eventually, that basket got stopped in some reeds. Moses was crying out, and Pharaoh's daughter heard that baby crying and took pity on him. And while all this is happening, Moses' sister is watching all of this. She runs up to Pharaoh's daughter and says, "I can provide a Hebrew woman to take care of this child until he's old enough to be your child." And Pharaoh's daughter agrees to this. And Moses was raised by his own mother. He was instructed about God. He was instructed about the promised Savior. And therefore, Moses had faith. And after those few years, Moses was adopted by Pharaoh's family, and he lived like an Egyptian for a long time. Now, in your minds, what would you expect to happen to Moses' faith after he lived like an Egyptian for so long? You would expect that Moses' faith would have died and he wouldn't have cared about his people anymore. But that's not what happened. Moses held on to his faith. And let this be a reminder to every parent here how important it is to teach your children about the faith, to teach them about Jesus Christ as their Savior, because it can make a huge impact on their life. It made a huge impact on Moses' life. Listen to what he did. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses chose to be mistreated with his people who were slaves. He saw that being persecuted for his faith was of greater value and of greater worth than all the treasures of Egypt. He looked forward to the eternal reward in heaven instead of looking forward to a life of pleasure and a life of sin. And in the eyes of the Egyptians, they had to view this as utterly foolish, that Moses would be willing to give up all of these things in order to be persecuted and mocked for his faith. But that is what faith looks like. Faith in Christ is willing to be mocked, persecuted, and to endure disgrace. Is that what your faith looks like? As we just sang in our hymn, are you ever ashamed of Jesus? I think right now every single one of us here would say, no, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. But how easy that is to say when we're here in church. But when you are out there in the world, have you ever been ashamed of Jesus? Think about any and every time you were ashamed of Jesus because you did not share your faith with a friend, family member, co-worker, or even a stranger that doesn't know you. Think about any and every time you were ashamed of Jesus because you didn't stand up for your faith, but instead you were peer pressured into sin. And why do we do that? Why are there times that we are ashamed of Jesus and get peer pressured into sin? Well, it's because it's a lot easier to enjoy the pleasures of sin than to defend your faith even when you're persecuted. But here's the thing about the pleasures of sin. They don't last. Go ahead. Think of any sin that you have committed that has brought you joy. How long does that joy last? Not very long. The sin of drunkenness doesn't last because eventually you sober up. The sin of sexual immorality in thought, word, and deed doesn't last very long. The sin of sleeping in on a Sunday morning just to get an extra hour of sleep, that doesn't last, because eventually you have to wake up, and even though you got that extra hour of sleep, you're still going to be tired later on at night. The joys of sin do not last. And yet our sinful nature craves that pleasure more and more, to the point that we look forward to the pleasures of sin as opposed to looking forward to the eternal reward of heaven through faith in Christ. And if that happens, if your faith dies, you will not receive that eternal reward. But you have not lost that reward. It is still yours. Not because of how great your faith may be, not because of what you have done, but you still have this reward because your faith is in Christ and what He has done. Jesus left all the treasures of heaven to come down to endure a life that we have to go through. He chose to be mistreated, mocked, and to endure disgrace from people. He chose the shameful way of death on the cross. And He was not ashamed to do this. He did this so that He can give you the reward of forgiveness and eternal life. And through faith, you have this reward. This is what faith looks like. It looks ahead to what we will receive, even though that means we would have to be persecuted for a little while here on earth. But that is not the only way that faith looks like. By faith, Moses left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw Him who is invisible. After Moses and the Israelites left Egypt, Pharaoh chased after them. He pursued them with his army to make the Israelites his slaves once again. And rest assured, if he could get his hands on Moses, he would have killed him. But when Moses saw all of this, he wasn't afraid. He persevered. How could that be? It's because through the eyes of faith, Moses saw God even though He is invisible. And it was God who gave Moses the strength to persevere at that time. And it's no different with us. We all have to admit there are times that we have been afraid or worried. We can be afraid because of what the doctor may say to us about the health of a loved one or about our own health. We may be afraid of the persecutions that we might have to endure for our faith. And when those times happen, There can be people who say to you, "Where is your God now? What proof do you have that God is here with you and that He is here to help you? Because I don't see any proof of that." And sometimes those words can get to us. But remember what faith looks like. Remember what faith is. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Allow me to illustrate that. Have any of you seen Christ live a perfect life? Have any of you seen Christ die on the cross for your sins? Have any of you seen Jesus rise from the dead for your justification? No. None of us have seen that. But through the eyes of faith, we do see Christ and what He has done for us. And through the eyes of faith, we see God even though He is invisible. We see God's love for us. We see that God is here to help us. We see that God will give us the strength to endure anything that's happening in our life. This is what faith sees. And this is what faith looks like. Finally, we are given one more example of what faith looks like from Moses' life. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. The very last plague that God sent upon Egypt was the plague that would kill every firstborn. And this would have happened to the Israelites as well, but God provided salvation from that plague. He told the Israelites to take a young lamb, to kill it, gather its blood, and paint the doorpost of their home with that blood. And to the eyes of the Egyptians, they must have viewed this as being foolish. After all, how can the blood of a lamb save anyone? But that's exactly what happened. When God came throughout Egypt, he saw the blood on that house. He passed over them, and he did not kill any firstborn that was in that house. And after that plague, the Israelites were set free from their lives of slavery. Can you see the imagery here? Do you see the similarities between that Passover lamb and with the Passover lamb who is Jesus Christ? Christ is the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world. The blood of Jesus purifies us from all sin. And to the eyes of the world, they view this as the most foolish thing that we believe. They find it foolish that we believe in Christ and Him crucified. They find it foolish that since Jesus shed His blood for us, everyone who believes in Him is forgiven. But that's exactly what happens. Through faith, Jesus' blood covers us. And since we are covered in Jesus' blood, God passes over our sins. And since Jesus' blood covers us, we are now set free from being slaves to sin. It is no wonder why the writer to the Hebrews talked about Moses to those Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. They were being tempted to leave their faith and convert back to Judaism. But he pointed them to Moses and what his faith looked like. And praise be to God that these same words have been written for us as well, because we need to hear them. There are times when our faith does not look like what God wants, for we can enjoy the pleasures of sin, we can be ashamed of Jesus, we can be afraid or worried. But God forgives us of these sins through faith in Christ. God passes over our sins since we are covered with Jesus' blood. God gives us the strength to endure whatever we experience in life. And He has given us the reward of His forgiveness and eternal life. And this is all yours through faith. And may God continue to give us such a faith as this, a faith that is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We now confess our Christian faith by using the words of the Apostles' Creed, which you will find on page 41 in front of your hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated for the offering, and during the offering, please sign the friendship register in your pew.